Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, we've learned so much in recent years about how our boglands are valuable carbon sinks and that removing turf from bogs damages their environmental role. But in recent months, it's become clear that unintended consequence of Bord na Móna's stopping harvesting peat of Irish bogs, in particular for the horticulture and plant sectors, and indeed all DIY gardeners, is that there is no more peat. And Suzanne Campbell joins me. Suzanne, good morning. Are the days of buying a bag of Irish peat moss in the garden centre, are they gone forever?
They're certainly numbered, you know, they're on the way down. I mean, like most people and many people who garden, we make a little bit of compost here now, and many people would do that. But we all still reach for the bag of peat in the garden centre because it's really a staple for planting. You'll never have enough soil to do what you want, and it's just this ideal material. But that's really changing fast. And many companies offer now reduced peat compost or no peat compost, and this is to conserve wetlands, which we now know have this unique biodiversity and a big role in global warming. Now, Bord na Móna were forced to stop harvesting peat because of continuous court actions taken by Friends of the Irish Environment, and they're having to shift their business quickly to compost made from green waste. So I spoke to Brian Keogh, firstly from Bord na Móna, about this shift from peat into alternative composts.
We have a large green waste composting facility. Mm-hmm. So we've been involved in green composting for years, and we produce a green compost there. It's licensed by EPA. It's an 18-week process. And what you get out of the end of that then, Suzanne, is a fantastic, high-quality, highly stable, sustainable ingredient. And we use that then as a substitute. That's just one of the products that we use as a substitute in our growing media products. Probably a couple of years ago, all of the products we produced were 100% peat. We're listening to what our consumers are asking, and we're reducing the level of peat in the product. So at this point in time, the mix is probably closer to 80-20%. We don't only use green compost, we also use things like wood fiber, bark fines, and we can get a product called coir that we often use as well.
Are you in a position where if you take, just for those commercial sales, for gardeners like myself or people who'd be listening to this program, if you take peat totally out of the equation, can you supply as much volume that you were supplying before that was peat?
For the hobby end of the market, that's the home gardener, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it was tomorrow, we couldn't, but we're on a transition story in line with the Bord na Móna brown to green transition. So we will transition our business. As I've said, we're reducing peat on a regular basis, but we're also looking at new products that we're going to, I suppose, speed that up in. So we'll continue on the journey, I suppose, to meet that consumer demand in the future.
So consumer demand is one thing, but what about the big users of peat? You know, the plant and horticultural sector, everyone from mushroom growers in Ireland to nurseries growing like young Irish trees, they were all using peat from Bord na Móna for decades. And about 50% of crops in the Irish horticulture industry rely on peat. And this sector, like Damien, it's a really one important one in rural areas. Horticulture and nursery businesses, they employ about 18,000 people in Ireland. Now, Larry Doran of Doran Nurseries in Timahoe and Kildare told me how already in Ireland, it's a struggle to keep costs down if you are growing Irish plants or crops, as growers are already competing with cheap imports from Europe. So when we go and buy plants, a lot of the plants we buy are from Holland and they're produced much, much cheaper, yet they are imports. So this halt on supply of peat to the horticulture sector has become critical to them staying in business.
It was an awful shock to us. Suddenly there's an awful scarcity. The raw material of peat, the base price of it has gone from maybe 8 to 12 euro per cubic metre. Now has doubled because of lack of raw material. And it looks to me like our main source of supply, unless there's something done about it, is going to be from maybe Scotland or Latvia, Lithuania, Russian or Balkan peat, and maybe coir from Malaysia and India, which comes in big bulk containers and is a very environmentally unfriendly product. So we're very concerned and we're very worried about where the future is with us and how we're going to be secure our compost for potting, growing our plants.
How many tons, I mean, would you use in a year in terms of peat?
Yeah, we're a specialist nursery. We grow 800,000 to a million plants a year. I employ 15 full-time, maybe up to 25 with part-time in the summer. And I think we use about 2,500 cubic meters of peat or compost here. But without that, I don't know what we're going to do. There is talk of biomass and green waste, but green waste can be very unstable and have a lot of toxins in it. Biomass or wood chip, there's a problem with the forestry and the harvesting for the last 2 years. So there's a big scarcity of wood chip. So it's no other source of compost in Ireland, bar we import within 1 month or 5 months or 6 months.
I suppose if you are forced into importing, you're importing the same product cut out of box in a different part of the world, but you're also importing the carbon miles that it has to travel. So it seems a very inefficient way to bring in that product when it's already here.
Yeah, it would seem to be crazy. We're right in the middle of the bog, beside the Bog of Allen, surrounded by boglands. Kildare is one of the centres of the horticulture or the nursery stock industry. And to think that we'd have to start importing this peat from 2,000 kilometres away and maybe this coir from 10,000 kilometres seems to be ridiculous. We've estimated that in Kildare alone, our cost of peat, if we have to start importing, is going to go up by 1.2 million. The machinery to handle the different way it's coming in is going to cost another million. So it would certainly put our competitiveness at a very big disadvantage and would mean that we won't be a viable business.
There are smaller companies, of course, Them Board Namona, still harvesting peat, as under 30 hectares, you don't need planning permission. But these companies are also worried about what's going to happen them as well regarding regulation. And it was Friends of the Irish Environment that began this action about the bogs on peat, specifically, I suppose, to stop the cutting of turf on special areas of conservation, which was not just being done by hand, but was being done with industrial machines. So they really took this on in 2010. Various Irish governments actually fought their action, but ultimately the court ruled then that peat extraction needs planning permission, it needs certification from the EPA, and this is what has led to this situation where Bord na Mona have just completely stopped harvesting peat. I talked to Tony Lowes from Friends of the Irish Environment about the kind of impact this ban has had. Now, not just on turf cutting, but other sectors and other people as well.
I think it was an extremely difficult change that's taking place. Peat cutting and turf is embedded in our culture. It's in our literature. It's in the very being of a lot of rural Ireland in particular. And it's not easy to make these kind of changes and to realize that it really is a very damaging thing. It's damaging because the peat actually holds carbon and is a sink and is doing a job for us.
So when they're talking about importing, bringing peat, it's like bringing coals to Newcastle, bringing peat back into Ireland. And it's even more carbon unfriendly than what we were doing in the first place. So what's the alternative for them?
Well, I think this is one of these cases where they need help. If you review what Chagas has been saying and what the industry has been saying here in Ireland and in the UK, everybody is aware that the writing is on the wall, but nobody has moved fast enough. And it's alternatives that we're talking about. And if this kind of climate awareness impacts on the Bord na Mona employees or say the horticultural industry, then what kicks in is what we call just transition, which is that the rest of society is going to help these people who are actually making the sacrifices. And that's where this thing has gone wrong. It was too slow, and we haven't seemed to have put in place any immediate alternative. So there's got to be serious work done on this and serious support given to the industry to help them through this transition. But the idea of importing it from the Baltic is not really going to get us anywhere at all environmentally.
Tony Lowes there of Friends of the Irish Environment, ending that report from Suzanne Campbell. Very interesting indeed. Suzanne, as always, thank you very much for that. Chat to you again soon. Now,